Thee alone, O God, are we strong and sufficient for every task. We ask thy gracious presence with us in these moments that we spend together. Concerned as we are about the advance of thy kingdom, we acknowledge freely that we have failed thee so greatly and so often. Of thy goodness give us still. With thy love inspire us, and in thy mercy receive us now and always. For the sake of the love of thine only begotten Son, the Holy One of Israel, our Savior and our God. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed seminarians, there can be no doubt about it anymore, if ever there was. One of the most significant actions of our church in the last quarter century, and certainly of the latest convention of synod, was the resolution which put faith-forward endeavor before our people, and which launched this venture. As you understand, since that convention, the church's leaders throughout synod, her leaders in our 32 districts, in all of our circuits, and in our congregations, united their prayers and their thought, their planning, and their efforts in order to get this venture underway. And despite some very severe time limitations, I would think that a very promising beginning has been made. Indeed, the response of our people in this first year of Faith Forward has been heartening, and I might add, even splendid. I am not speaking first, and certainly not exclusively, of their response dollar-wise to the work program of Synod. The overriding goal of Faith Forward, reduced to a sentence, is the deepening of the spiritual life of all of our people, young and old. It is, in simple terms, an appeal to our constituency to live in the Word of God more and more. This Word, which is the secret and source of all of our spiritual life and power. It is an appeal to take more seriously than we do the commands of the Lord of the Church, who speaks to us in and through that Word, so that in His time and under His Spirit's power, we come more and more to love the things that He commands and to do the things that He desires. Only if this happens, and in the measure in which it happens, will there be a deepening of faith, and only then really will our dear church move forward. All of this goes far to explain my presence in your campus today. If Faith Forward is first and foremost to raise people, rather than to raise a budget or to raise dollars, if we who are leaders and future leaders of God's people are to lift their sights and bid them move forward to new and higher plateaus of Christian stewardship, then we ourselves must rise. We must rise first. So help us God. At the request of the Central Faith Forward Committee and of Synod's President, I am under assignment to speak in behalf of Faith Forward at all of the terminal schools of our church. Here at the very outset, let us understand something. Faith Forward isn't just another program. We've had many in the past. Another program that will have its little hour and then fade away. Faith Forward stands at the very center of our holy religion and life. It must have this central place so long as it is yet day for the church and before the light long night comes for our world. And my purpose, seminarians, is to enlist your participation in the faith-forward endeavor. Plutarch tells us that in the laws of Solon, the great Athenian statesman and lawgiver, there is a decree which breathes contempt on those who in the grave and critical issues of life want to remain aloof, want to be neutral. Solon expressed the judgment that apparently the Athenians considered it wise and a just law that in the event of a rebellion in the city, those people should be put to death who were content merely to stand on the sidelines as so many spectators, but who took no active part on one side or the other. He felt that those who took no definite stand should be permanently put out of the way, that it was a crime for anyone in the midst of a critical battle to be a mere spectator. And I think that this has application for the kingdom of God and for this dear church of ours. For this reason, it seems to me a very wise decision on the part of Synod's Central Committee for the Faith Forward Movement to give special attention in the planning to bringing faith forward to the various campuses of the church, to the faculties and student bodies. These are so often, if you will pardon this expression, the forgotten people in some of the great ventures of our church. My purpose this day, as stated, is to enlist your growing participation. I realize that you are no strangers to the various periodicals in which the whole purpose and progress of Faith Forward is brought to the attention of our people everywhere. But as future leaders of the church, it would seem that our graduates in particular ought to be thoroughly familiar with the intent of Faith Forward and with the tools, the materials that have appeared and which are to appear in a very short while. Let me speak about these at the very beginning. I should like to commend them to you for your personal scrutiny, even for your special use. I should like to begin by pointing attention to a very fine study on the whole area of stewardship that appeared in a recent issue of CTM on the 16th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, verses 1 to 13. It was prepared by Dr. Kemmerer, a distinguished member of this faculty, and it bears long study. Beyond it, and of special interest to all seminarians, would surely be a joyful ministry, a brochure that was prepared by the chairman of the Faith Forward Central Committee. Here is a tonic for any Blue Monday of your ministry. Here is a little work that is bound to inspire you, to enable you to see more and more your place in God's scheme of things. It deserves your careful attention also. Then there's a rather interesting little tract that was prepared by Pastor Kempner with the title, What Pastors Are For. It also is something that is appealing and very helpful to us in orienting ourselves in this great venture. Then there is the manual for Faith Forward Leaders Building a Greater Church in the space of some few pages. We get a swift overview of the entire purpose, program, and intent of the Faith Forward venture. Then there is a little catechism that may prove helpful also. We call it at least the Faith Forward Catechism because its format is that of a little Enchiridion, questions and answers, that have again this purpose of helping us to understand what we are engaged in together. Of special concern to all the Central Committee is that the faith-forward Know Your Synod, which is to appear after Easter, shall have the widest possible dissemination and study. The thing is presently on the presses at CPA seminarians. I read an advanced copy, I don't know who authored, the copy accompanying the illustrations that appear here. But I must say to you that it is the finest of such a triennial work that has appeared, that has come under my examination at any rate. It's a format similar to Life magazine. It's 50% pictorial. In former years, we used to get something altogether different. Know Your Synod, in those years, was simply a mass of cold type that wasn't very attractive, and it took a considerable effort to plow through it. This is a vast improvement, and so well done, that it would appear we ought to come back to it again and again. Then for your own devotional life, there are certain bulletins or Lenten inserts that have been prepared. Perhaps attending the services this Lenten tide, you have already had in hand one or two of them. They have such titles as Love Unlimited, Living the Repentant Life, Living the Dedicated Life, Living the Extravagant Life. I commend them to you for your own private devotions or the devotions of smaller groups on campus. You will also find available special Lenten meditations with suggested Bible readings. Let me say again that Faith Forward has as its central objective the deepening of our individual spiritual life. It's got to begin with us. Nothing much is going to happen in the way of stewardship, the stewardship of the total life, if the stewardship of the word and sacrament is neglected. Then it seems that beyond that, you as a student body, as the student bodies on other campuses have indicated, you may want perhaps to arrange for a little faith-forward committee of your own on campus. Perhaps there could be a faculty member named as a consultant. You could serve as a channel for all of the tools and the materials that are necessary. Some of you, particularly the seniors, are soon to enter the field. And when you do, you will discover, sometimes to your own dismay, that 101 things are there clamoring for your attention. What an advantage it will be for you if before you leave the seminary, you become thoroughly familiar with this material and with the whole faith-forward venture, so that stepping into office, wherever God elects to have you serve, you take this in stride and you are in a position to give the leadership for God's people that this continuing faith-forward effort requires. I would suggest, therefore, that you avail yourselves of the opportunity to secure this material. It's yours. Greatest in quantity, all that is required is that some group on campus shall make certain that the order is placed for it, and then you can give a distribution here. There is another matter too that it seems to me we do well to consider together. So often as we move up and down the church, we discover here and there segments of individuals who seem to somehow suffer under certain disillusionments, to put it no more strongly, or who feel a sense of isolation from what we call synod. Their picture or image of it leaves much to be desired, and so often They take a detached and aloof attitude over against it, and it seems to me that this is something that not alone is regrettable, but it is something that will work to our disadvantage unless this particular attitude or approach is somehow arrested and changed. You know, it was far different in the days of our fathers. I can remember that as a little chap growing up, that my father and friends of his, when they spoke of sinning, did it in tones that were almost awed, and I don't think that that's an exaggeration, or that the word is extravagant. They thought of this synod of ours as a great blessing of God to the congregations of the church that had voluntarily entered synod and found that it served under God to served a great purpose in advancing his kingdom everywhere. They loved this synod of ours. They recognized its weaknesses and failings, but there was never any question about their loyalty to it. I would hope that somehow all of us can capture something of that fervor in our personal attitude toward this church, toward our beloved synod. Let us remember that our student bodies and our institutions of learning as such have a tremendous stake in the Faith Forward venture. I don't know if you are familiar with the allocations that have been made by the Board of Directors of Synod in the face of the requests coming from various departments. However, when we total the requirements of our campuses everywhere, the needs of higher education in this church that we love, we come to a rather amazing total, just under $14 million. That is surely a significant amount. And it would appear that all of us recognizing this will want to do all that we can as far as our individual contributions to this effort, and as far as encouragement to our fellow Christians everywhere. Now, you are gathered here for this convocation near the end of another Lenten tide, a Lenten tide that brings us very close to the cross of Jesus Christ. The life of the believing Christian is lived under that cross. At the cross, soldiers of Jesus Christ are born, and here they are nurtured. Here they are prepared to march, to believe even, and if necessary, to die. Only at the cross, really, can the Church of Jesus Christ be the Church. Here under the cross, we repeat our vows of love to him who loved us first and loved us unto death and redeemed us to be his forever. Here under the cross, we speak once more our vows of love to our neighbor. And this would include people everywhere, never mind their economic condition or class or color. All who have not yet heard that message of redeeming love. I recall at this point a rather touching and tender bit of verse from the pen of T. Shields. I wonder if you will hear it this morning. Feeling something of this, he took pen in hand and wrote, "Yes, I have seen a lover, in spite of scorn and hate, love through the agony of blood and tears, and ceaseless in his love for even his enemies, lay down his life, forsaken of the earth and sky, and rising, win a bride and ring the marriage bells. That lover is the lover of our souls. And I unto the endless end like him, I too must love. Garibaldi, the great Italian patriot and liberator, said to his freedom-loving countrymen, I am going out of Rome. I offer neither pay, nor quarters, nor provisions. I offer only hunger and thirst, forced marches and battles and death. Let him who loves his country in his heart, and not with his lips only, follow me. And they followed him, because they loved their homeland. It was a love that was willing to pay a dear price. And it did. Some years ago, two missionaries were warned of the dangers of going to a new gospel frontier. And they were told that these dangers were not imaginary. They had to be prepared to lay down their lives for Christ and for those to whom they were sent to minister unto. You know what they answered? We died before we left home. They had stood beneath the cross. They were under orders. Now they were taking that cross to others, no matter what the cost might be. And I, unto the endless end, like him, I too must love. Indeed, the Faith Forward venture is a call to all of us, and would enlist all of us. Some of you have read the reports of the convention and of the convention sermon that had as its theme, stand fast, but do not stand still. Faith Forward calls us to stand fast in the Word above all else. But the Word inevitably leads us into the work of our Lord. The delegates determined to forge ahead, to push on to new frontiers, for they realize that the harvest is now white, and that the days are evil, and that our time may be very short. By their resolutions, those delegates spoke for themselves and for all of the members back home in the congregations of Sidon. They said, as it were, the world's great heart is aching, fiercely aching in the night, and God alone can heal it, and God alone can give it light. And the men to bear that message and to speak the living word are you and I, my brothers, and the millions who have heard. They ask God to help them and the folks back home to move ahead on all fronts, stepping up the programs in our congregations, in our districts. It was to involve every member of our beloved church body, and the great watchword was Faith Forward. Faith, if it be a living, vital thing, will look forward. It will keep the forward attitude. And under God's mighty power, it will extend his kingdom moving forward. I have assured the president of the seminary that you would have opportunity for questions. The time flits away so swiftly. And lest you be shortchanged, I should like to pause at this point, Dr. Fearbringer, and allow students, if they have any, to pose whatever questions they would ask.